life before you. How I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you.
I'm going to ask you to turn today to the book of Judges, chapter 8. The subject for our lesson today is an unusual one. I've never ministered along these lines that I know of. And the reason is because I have never had a clear understanding of what it is I'm going to share with you today. But I do now. And so now we're going to get it. In other words, I didn't have the recipe until today. I had the concern in this area, but I didn't have the recipe. And I didn't know why I felt a certain way about things I see going on around us. It's likely, I shouldn't say it's likely, it's possible that the word today will step on some toes. Now, I'm not going to step on any toes because I'm not going to give you my opinions. I'm just going to give you the word of God. And so that keeps me safe. And if the word steps on you today, then you have a choice, and that is either to respond to the word of God or to just simply reject it and go on about your business. I think some of you will be surprised that I would even bring the subject up today. But as I was reading, I've always had a concern in this area, and I haven't really understood why I have been concerned. I've wondered, is it because of my upbringing? Is it a cultural thing? What is it? Or is there really something, some spiritual principle here that is worthy of our dealing with? Because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to be in a position of dealing with something that is a matter of personal preference for me. Because in areas that are not governed in Scripture, I think we ought to live and let live. And we do have different preferences in various areas. I mean, if you want to wear a red sport coat, then wear a red sport coat. You know, it's not particularly my thing, but I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. It's a matter of personal preference, okay? But there are some things here, there are some issues here that I just feel impressed that the Lord wants us to deal with. In Judges chapter 8, we have the story of Gideon, or at least a portion of the story. And this happened to be where I was reading this week, in my regular reading. And as I've told you over and over again, God's call on my life years and years ago, and he continues to remind me of it, is teach the people what I'm teaching you. And so in that line, that's what we're going to do today. Have you noticed in recent years how many all around us, and in the church as well, but especially out in the world around about us, how things have changed in the lives of men, particularly, and how their appearance has changed? Have you noticed how many men have taken to the wearing of very ostentatious jewelry, especially earrings, necklaces, and you see it on the baseball field? I don't know how these guys do it, really. I don't know how they perform their athletic feats with 50 pounds of gold, you know, around there. You're glad you didn't wear your necklaces today, aren't you? Say amen or oh me. But haven't you noticed? Have you noticed how many men are now sporting tattoos? If you watch the basketball games, you know, they're tattooed, some of them from fingertips to armpits. And God only knows what's underneath where you can't see. I guess Dennis Rodman would be called Mr. Tattoo, those of you who follow professional basketball. But it seems to be that's the thing to do. Let's all have a tattoo. I've been watching the NCAA tournaments this weekend, as a lot of guys, I'm sure, have been. And it is rare to find one of these basketball players who does not have some marks on his body somewhere, and most of them multiple, exalting one thing or another. It may be mother, or it may be girlfriend, or it may be some rock group, or it may be even a cross or some kind of religious symbol in the tattoo. Now, I have to tell you that troubles me and has for a long time, but for a long time I have felt that it troubled me because I'm just an old man and past it. And I'm just being honest with you. You know, this is a matter of different age, different generation, different patterns and so on. But I want to show you today what the Lord showed me, and you judge it. And you tell me whether there is anything more significant here or whether Pastor Vic is straining at gnats and swallowing camels. Verse 24 in Joshua chapter 8. I'm sorry, Judges. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a quest of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. Now the scene here is Gideon's great victory over the Midianite armies. Remember, Gideon had 300 men, and he defeated a 135,000 man army. Over a period of time this battle went on, there were very many dead, and many, many captives, most of them dead. And it's interesting here that they were men, soldiers. And Gideon says, take their earrings off of them and give them to me. And this verse, this is what really struck me this week when I was reading in verse 24, for they had golden earrings because of something. They were not the people of God. They were Ishmaelites. And I got to thinking about that. Who and what is Ishmael? You see, Ishmael was the child of the flesh, as opposed to Isaac being the child of promise. And I'm going to just identify that. I'm not going to belabor that today. You can go to Galatians and read it for yourself and see where Ishmael and Isaac, the two half-brothers, are contrasted. To where Isaac is the child that was brought forth because of faith in the promise of God in a godly fashion, and Ishmael was brought forth because man said, I'm going to do my own thing, and he got in the flesh. Isaac is the way of God. Ishmael is the way of the world. Isaac is a reflection of the glory of God. Ishmael is the reflection of the glory of the world. And I thought about this, and I meditated on this, and I thought, Lord, is this really significant here, or am I chasing something that I shouldn't be chasing? And then I got to thinking about the tattoos after the earrings. I got to thinking about the tattoos. Now notice the Israelite men didn't have the earrings. It was the Ishmaelite men that had the earrings. Now let's turn back to Leviticus. Don't leave me in the middle of this now. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 19 and read a verse or two here about tattoos. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 28 says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. In other words, you belong to me, and I don't want you to put anybody else's brand on you. You're mine. And so do not mark your body with other identifications other than that you belong to me. You don't belong to the rock band Kiss. Amen. You don't belong to the sign of the serpent. You don't belong to whatever that barbed wire thing is they tattoo around their arms. I don't have any idea what that means. Not sure I want to know. Some sort of symbolism. Don't put any marks on your body. Don't print any marks on your body. You belong to me. You're mine. You carry my mark. It's on the inside of you, not on the outside. I'm the God you serve, not the God with which you mark your body. Now, I'm meditating on that, and I'm thinking, Lord, what is the significance of that? Why is it that that kind of thing just makes me feel uncomfortable? Is it because of the way I was raised and because only anybody who wore an earring was a sissy? Anybody know the word sissy? Sissy is my generation's word. I don't know what you call them today, but we call them sissies. Now, I know that's not true. Because some of the guys that are sporting these earrings and tattoos, I don't want to meet them in an alley. Are you listening? But I'm asking myself, is this why? Is it because this is culturally ingrained in me? And is this why this bothers me? And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, show me what is the significance. And this thought just leaped into my mind. 1 John. 2:15. And let's turn there. 1 John 2:15. John, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, said this. love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now you tell me that the guy who's wearing the tattoo up and down his arms just woke up one morning and said, I think I'm going to have a tattoo today. Or the guy that goes out and buys an earring or a pair of earrings or a belly button ring or whatever else they're wearing these days, tell me that he just woke up one morning and said, I think I'll go buy one of those and get my something pierced and put one in there. You could never persuade me of that. Where does this come from? It comes from observing it in the lives of others who are where? In the world. And it comes from a desire to be like them. Now you can say amen, or you can so me. But it's true just the same, and you know it. It springs from a heart that has its attention and its admiration focused upon the world and the people who are in it, rather than a heart that has its attention and its focus upon the Lord. Now, does it mean that a person who's wearing a tattoo or an earring or a 50 pounds of gold around his neck cannot be saved? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We're not saved by the presence or the absence of these things. We are saved by the presence or the absence of faith in the Lord Jesus. But it does tell us something about our priorities, and it tells us something about our perspective. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. It is Ishmaelitic. It's Ishmaelitish. Bunch of ishes in there, isn't there? It's Ishmaelitish rather than Isaacitish. Have you got it? It springs from a connection to the king. And it comes from the pride of life. What it reminds me of is it reminds me of the Israelites back in the first chapter, eighth chapter of 1 Samuel. We talked about this about a month ago, how the Israelites came to the prophet Samuel and said, we don't want to be different. We want a king like all the rest of the nations around about us. We're tired of being different. We want to be like everybody else. So give us a king. You remember what God said? Samuel, they didn't reject you. They rejected me. Now, did they cease to be his people? No, but they had said, we want to be more like the world rather than more like you. Our attention is on them rather than on you. Have you ever noticed when you drive your car down the highway? My father taught me when he was teaching me how to drive. He taught me how to look across the top of the hood of the car and line it up with the right-hand side of the road. Here in the United States, we drive on the right-hand side of the road. So, on the right-hand side of the road, not look at the opposing car. Look at the road, not the car. Have you noticed that when you drive, if you look at the opposing car, you will go like this. You will find yourself turning towards it. You will find yourself moving in the direction of whatever it is you are focusing on. Now, I'm not suggesting you try this on the way home, for we'd like for you to return next week, you know. Yes, really, is right. But I think we have all experienced that, haven't we? We tend to be drawn in the direction of that with which we are focused. And if we're focused on the world, and we're focused on the things that are cool, or neat, or in, or spiffy, I don't think there's anybody here from that generation, Billy. Spiffy. Swell. You know, maybe swell. That's what we like to watch the old movies and Lois and I will kid each other. By the way, the reason Lois is not here is not that her mother is any worse. Her babysitter didn't show today, and so that's why she's not here. Situation pretty much the same home with Grandma. But we watch these old movies, and it's interesting. The word they use, you know, is from the 30s and the early 40s, everything's swell. Oh, it's just swell. That's a swell dress. And isn't he swell? So we were watching a movie one night, and it must have been 50 or 60 swells in it. So for weeks afterwards, Lois and I would kid each other about how swell everything was. Swell. I think today maybe it's bad, huh? It's really bad? Is that passé too? It's what? That was sweet? Sweet. That's a new one. That's a new one. But it's focusing on the things that the world finds to be attractive and positive and to give a person an identity in the world. Now, I tell you, if you or anyone you know is caught up in that, warning, ding, 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 ding. Listen. You're not focused on the right thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. We had our academy here for, 15, 18 years, something like that. One of the most difficult problems we had, and typically it's a problem with the young, because the young are still trying to figure out who am I, and, you know, there's a lot of identity kinds of things going on in there, and, you know, with the kids, we always had this problem about wanting to be like the world. The worst problem we had in our academy was establishing a dress code. Just a dress code. You know, a normal pair of pants and a shirt and so on. No, we want to come with pants that hang halfway down the waist, you know. We want to have our underwear showing, you know, 4 or 5 inches of underwear. We want to have the pants so big at the bottom that it's like wearing two skirts. We want to have them extra long so they drag. We want to fray them, just sloppy, you know, this whole grunge look. We want to have leather everywhere. We want to have studs, metal studs. And we want to wear chains. We want to wear a chain from here to here. If the people in the world decide to wear their ball caps backwards, guess what happens? Everybody wants to wear their ball caps backwards. Now tell me why. You know why there's a bill on a ball cap? It's to shade your eyes. Anybody ever seen a person with eyes in the back of their head? I mean, you think it through. Think how stupid this is. Think how asinine this is. But yet we do it, and Christians do it. Because we don't want to be different. We want to be like everybody else. So if they wear their hats backwards, I wear my hat backwards. If they wear them sideways, we wear them sideways. We had a very active youth group here at one time. We had our academy and so on, and we had a group of young people who were learning how to be musicians. But their heroes were the punk rockers. And they wanted to come on the platform with the outfit I just described, topped with blue striped hair. And didn't get it when that didn't go over. I mean, that went over like a bull in a china shop. Got their nose all out of joint. Mom and dad got their nose all out of joint. We had major problems over that. Our former principal will tell you the harrowing experiences that she had dealing with simple issues from the dress code. Incredible. Just incredible. Unbelievable. Unbelievable fighting that would take place over stupid things. Just stupid things. Why was there such a struggle? Because the battle was not about the length of the pants. The battle was about the condition of the heart. Are you listening to me? The pride of life. Do we find our identity in being like the latest fad that's coming down the pike? Or do we find our identity in the one who created us and then recreated us in Jesus Christ? What's our perspective? Verse 17 says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Thank God. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I want to take you just to a series of scriptures. That's basically the message, okay? Now I want to hammer it home. And I'm going to give you, this is what the Lord showed me when I asked him about it. Why does this bother me? Why should I be concerned about this? And he took me to 1 John chapter 2. And then as I continued to meditate on it, these additional scriptures became available to me. Matthew 16, I'm just going to read them. Matthew 16, 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Gain the whole world, lose his relationship with Christ. Can a person go to hell with an earring in his ear? I mean, go to heaven with an earring in his ear. Of course he can. Can a person go to heaven with a cigarette in his mouth? Yes, of course he can. Why? Because it is by faith that you're saved, not by works. But let me tell you this. Walk with the world, think like the world, act like the world, and before you know it, you'll be the world. You won't want to be around Christian people. You won't want to be around the Word. You won't want to be around the Holy Spirit because it'll make you feel so uncomfortable. You will come to a point where you will say, get out of my life. I don't want you in my life anymore, and you will throw it away. You say, no, Pastor, that will never happen. Yes, people, it does happen. I've watched it happen. It is tragic. Luke 21, 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. What day? The day of the Lord. Could a person be so wrapped up in the world that his appointment comes and he's not ready for it? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm just a kid. I got plenty of time to take care of this. Not if you get hit by a Mack truck on the way home from church. I tell you, if I had a tattoo today and I listened to a message like this, I'd be at the tattoo parlor tomorrow saying, take this filthy thing off me. And if he said, I can't get it off me, I would go to a plastic surgeon or somebody that cut this skin off me and get some new skin grafted on there. I will not have this on my body. Now, that's me. Everybody else would make his own choice, make his own decisions. But we accept the Word of God to our blessing and to our profit. We reject the Word of God to our detriment. Listen to this one. Now, this one will get you. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're born again and have his resurrection life on the inside, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things that are here on the earth. Get that one. Set your affection on the things above, not the things that are here on the earth. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, he's talking to Christians here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You're falling in love with another woman, the world. You're giving yourself to another spouse, the world. God says, I call it adultery. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, listen to this now, this is a powerful word. Who will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't know about you, but I just love God enough, I don't want to ever be called his enemy. I hope down there, Lisa, at that school you teach in, I hope they have some standards that they're standing on and not giving up on, because it's a hard place to walk. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who rules this world? Who is the spirit of wickedness that worketh in the children of disobedience? So, well, I only have one tattoo. I would not want to imitate Dennis Rodman. How many of you know Dennis Rodman? I don't want to have it from my head to my toe, but a little old tattoo, what difference does it make? Or a little old tattoo, nobody sees it. Santa Claus sees it. Got you, didn't I? I want to see how many was listening. God sees it. And he knows what it means. See, we may not know what it means, but he knows what it means. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the Ishmael, the flesh, and of the mind, and where we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others are. We used to be like that, but we're not like that anymore. Now listen, I'm going to make this point again because I don't want you to miss it. I know lots of people who don't wear earrings that are going to hell. And I know people who are wearing earrings who are going to heaven. This is not a heaven or hell issue in terms of this specific item, okay? But it has the potential to lead you astray because it does. It reveals that your attention is focused on the wrong God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul talks about one of those men that used to work with him. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30, Moses warned his people, and he said, "Take heed to thyself," this is just before they entered the promised land, "that thou be not snared by following them," that is the people that they were going to dispossess, "after that they have been destroyed from before thee, and take heed that thou not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? We will do likewise." He warns them not to do that. And then in 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 15, we're told about the error of Israel's way. Eventually it says, they rejected his statutes. They rejected God's covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. They followed vanity, emptiness, and became vain and empty, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like that. Now, why would the Lord have me bring a message like this today? It's a word of warning. It's a word of caution. It's a word of instruction. And it's a word of protection. When your son comes home and says, "Mom, I want to get my ears pierced," what are you going to say? See, before today, what might you have said? But now you know, don't you? Now you have something to reason with. That'd be an easy mark for the world to take, won't it? That is a real reach. I tell you, the devil is so slick. I mean, he is so slick. He knows what you'll buy. And he'll offer it if he knows you'll buy it. He'll offer it. I mean, that's just a complete reach. Now, I did, as I was thinking along these lines, I went into the concordance and looked up every place where earrings was mentioned in the scripture. And every place it's mentioned for women, with the exception of one. And that is, if I recall correctly, it is the place where they were in the wilderness and you can't really tell whether the men actually wore the earrings or if it was just the earrings that they brought with them out of Egypt when they spoiled the Egyptians, you know. But when they're in the wilderness, Aaron said, you know, bring me all your gold. And the men did have some gold earrings to bring. Now, it doesn't say they wore them, but even if they did, the condition of their heart would be pretty well revealed in the calf that Aaron built. So, you know, I feel pretty comfortable with bringing this kind of a message. But you can justify any kind of behavior you want to from the scripture. I believe God has done that on purpose to allow people enough rope to become reprobate on the basis of the word of God. You can do that. You can't do that if you have the whole witness of scripture, but you can pick a particular scripture and say, well, this justifies this behavior, and this justifies this particular action, and this justifies this thought process, and so on. And this is one of the reasons why we have so many varying opinions within the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, if you wear a tattoo, does that mean Pastor Vic hates you? No. No. Because there are lots of reasons for you to hate me. I don't particularly have a tattoo, but there are other things, you know, in my life that are not absolutely perfect. And so the tattoo is no worse than something else that may be going on. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so this is just an area that the Lord is bringing us. It happens to be something that's going on in the world around about us right now. And I just felt impressed to bring this message today. And who knows? Maybe within our lifetime, we face the mark of the beast and the church becomes so inured against any kind of resistance to marking the body. It becomes, I'm real uncomfortable, frankly, this may be a stretch, but I'm uncomfortable with face painting. Just, you know, and I never knew why exactly, but I just was uncomfortable with that because it is marking the body. And we must be careful that we don't become legalists, you know, along these lines. And it's really easy to get into, well, in order to be a good Christian, you have to bang it, bing it, bing it, bing it, bing it. You know, we have a whole list of them, just like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees did in Jesus' day. And he set us free from that. At the same time, I don't think he set us free. The scripture says, do not let your liberty be an occasion to the flesh. And so while we are free, we're not free to be stupid. We're not free to play in the devil's cage. Because you play in his cage. Paul said, you cannot eat at the table of the Lord and the table of the devil at the same time. Okay? And so I believe he's just giving us a warning here. I think he's giving parents some wisdom, some scripture, some principles on which to base a stand that you might want to take with your children, or you may want to share this with your children for your grandchildren's benefit. There may be some other reasons the Lord wants to show us. It may very well be that the week after next, you know, we're confronted with a mark of the beast. Who knows when that may occur? I mean, that's in the Word of God, and it may happen in our lifetime. On your forehead or your hand.
Or your right, I think it said right hand. Yeah, in your right hand or on your forehead. Mm-hmm. So it would be three different ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, did you learn anything today? Anybody here say ouch? See, unfortunately, we do have a lot of Christians who are in, and they're sincere people. But they're in the public, square, perhaps with their music or with some other talent or gift that God has given them, and because of that, they have a platform from which their lives speak, and many of these folks feel that in order to reach the world, we have to be like the world. And a lot of it's in the music, and of course, young people are looking for examples. There's a natural desire of the flesh to be like the flesh, and even a Christian young person has this drawing. And if another Christian comes along and says, like Satan did in the garden to Eve, he said, "Well, God didn't mean what he said by that. I mean, he didn't tell you the truth. He's just trying to hold out on you. And so Eve fell for that. And the same thing is happening today. The world says to these Christian musicians, for example, these young Christian musicians, God doesn't really mean that. He just wants to deny you some of the pleasures of this life. He wants to deny you the opportunity to reach a certain class of people. They go for that, and they begin, then from them, the devil reaches through them into our churches and into our pews and into our families. And what does a young child like yours, for example, Judy, say? Well, there's this great Christian music group out here, and look, their hair is all 40 colors, and they have the, you know, this look, and they're doing all the stuff, you know, and if it's good for them, then it ought to be good for us. And so that's how he just works nefariously to get himself entwined and entwisted and to get us ensnared. And that which separates us and that which delivers us is the Word of God. If Eve had just gone to her husband and said, "Husband, what do you think about this?" The serpent said thusly. And then Adam could have said, "Well, I don't care what the serpent said. God said this." They would have been preserved. And the serpent could not have snared them. And the same thing's going on today. And so, you may have a young person sitting in the pew today. What does the devil say to them? "Ah, Pastor Vic, he's just an old fuddy-duddy. He just, you know, he's been around way too long. And, you know, the world would be better off without him. And if we just had a younger guy who really understood the way things are." That's how the devil talks. But I'm not an old fuddy-duddy. I mean, I've been around a long time. But there's anything fuddy or duddy about me if you know me. Amen. I long for the truth. And I wouldn't deny anybody anything that was good. I want us to have what's good. But I don't want us to take what the devil says is good. Because Eve did that, didn't she? She had a bite out of the apple. We've been paying for it ever since. Let's all stand. Oh, Lord God, let us see this for what it is. By your Spirit, impart this word to our hearts and graft it into our hearts so that we know that we know that we know that we know that your way is always better. Those of us who are troubled in these areas or have wrestled with these areas, help us, Lord, to make a decision and a commitment to follow you regardless of what the world thinks. We don't want to be friends with the world. We want to win the world. But in winning it, we don't want the world to win us. And so deliver us, Lord, from the temptations and from the desires of the world, considering, if necessary, the reproach of God's people to be preferable to the pleasures of seasonal sin. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.